Chapter 2 of Pollyanna. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Mary Anderson. Pollyanna by Eleanor H. Porter. Chapter 2. Old Tom and Nancy. In the little attic room, Nancy swept and scrubbed vigorously, paying particular attention to the corners. There were times, indeed, when the vigor she put into her work was more of a relief to her feelings than it was an ardor to efface dirt. Nancy, in spite of her frightened submission to her mistress, was no saint. "I just wish I could dig out the corners of her soul," she muttered jerkily, punctuating her words with murderous jabs of her pointed cleaning stick. "There's plenty of 'em needs cleaning, all right, all right. The idea of sticking that blessed child way off up here in this hot little room, with no fire in the winter, too, and all this big house ter pick and choose from. Unnecessary children, indeed!" "Humph!" snapped Nancy, wringing her rags so hard her fingers ached from the strain. "I guess it ain't children what is most unnecessary just now. For some time she worked in silence. Then, her task finished, she looked about the bare little room in plain disgust. "Well, it's done, my part, anyhow," she sighed. "There ain't no dirt here, and there's mighty little else. Poor little soul! A pretty place this is to put a homesick, lonesome child into." She finished, going out, and closing the door with a bang. "Oh!" she ejaculated, biting her lip. Then doggedly, "Well, I don't care. I hope she did hear the bang. I do. In the garden that afternoon, Nancy found a few minutes in which to interview old Tom, who had pulled the weeds and shoveled the paths about the place for unaccounted years. "Mr. Tom," began Nancy, throwing a quick glance over her shoulder to make sure she was unobserved, "did you know a little girl was coming here to live with Miss Polly?" "A what?" demanded the old man, straightening his bent back with difficulty. "A little girl to live with Miss Polly." "Go on with your joking," scoffed unbelieving Tom. "Why don't you tell me the sun is going ter set in the east tomorrer?" "But it's true. She told me so herself," maintained Nancy. "It's her niece, and she's 11 years old. The man's jaw fell. "Sho, I wonder now," he muttered. Then a tender light came into his faded eyes. "It ain't, but it must be. Miss Jenny's little gal. There weren't none of the rest of 'em married. Why, Nancy, it must be Miss Jenny's little gal. Glory be ter praise! Ter think of my old eyes a-seein' this!" "Who was Miss Jenny?" "She was an angel straight out of heaven," breathed the man fervently. "But the old master and missus knew her as their oldest daughter. She was 20 when she married, and went away from here long years ago. Her babies all died, I heard, except the last one, and that must be the one what's a-comin'. She's 11 years old. "Yes, she might be," nodded the old man. "And she's goin' ter sleep in the attic, more shame ter her," scolded Nancy, with another glance over her shoulder toward the house behind her. Old Tom frowned. The next moment a curious smile curved his lips. "I'm a-wonderin' what Miss Polly will do with a child in the house," he said. "Humph! Well, I'm a-wonderin' what a child will do with Miss Polly in the house," snapped Nancy. The old man laughed. "I'm afraid you ain't fond of Miss Polly," he grinned. "As if ever anybody could be fond of her," scorned Nancy. Old Tom smiled oddly. He stooped and began to work again. "I guess maybe you didn't know about Miss Polly's love affair," he said slowly.
"Love affair? Her? No! And I guess nobody else didn't, neither."
"Oh, yes, they did," nodded the old man. "And the fellers livin' terday right in this town, too."
"Who is he?"
"I ain't a-tellin' that. It ain't fit that I should." The old man drew himself erect. In his dim blue eyes, as he faced the house, there was the loyal servant's honest pride in the family he has served and loved for long years.
"But it don't seem possible, her and a lover," still maintained Nancy.
Old Tom shook his head. "You didn't know Miss Polly as I did," he argued. "She used ter be real handsome, and she would be now if she let herself be."
"Handsome? Miss Polly?"
"Yes, if she'd just let that tight hair of hern all out loose and careless-like as it used ter be, and wear the sort of bunnets with posies in 'em, and the kind of dresses all lace and white things, you'd see she'd be handsome. Miss Polly ain't old, Nancy."
"Ain't she, though? Well, then, she's got an awfully good imitation of it, she has," sniffed Nancy.
"Yes, I know. It begun then, at the time of the trouble with her lover," nodded old Tom. "And it seems as if she'd been feedin' on wormwood and thistles ever since. She's that bitter and prickly ter deal with."
"I should say she was," declared Nancy indignantly. "There's no pleasin' her nohow, no matter how hard you try.
I wouldn't stay if it twa'n't for the wages, and the folks at home what's needin' 'em. But some day, I shall just bile over, and when I do, of course it'll be good-bye, Nancy, for me, it will.
Old Tom shook his head. "I know, I've felt it. It's natural, but 'tain't best. Child, 'tain't best. Take my word for it, 'tain't best." And again he bent his head to the work before him.
"Nancy!" called a sharp voice.
Yes, ma'am,"
stammered Nancy, and hurried toward the house. End of chapter 2.